If you haven't heard of the Kalamazoo indie folk band Less Is More, you might have at least heard their blended acoustic cover of the songs Cool Kids and Riptide, the collaboration they did with the band The Queen and King. It's reached over 22 million plays on Spotify. The band has recently returned from touring, and they're playing a show Friday at Louie's Trophy House Grill in Kalamazoo. And they're here with me now in the studio. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
So, can you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Brian Spencer. I'm a guitarist and vocalist in the band.
My name is Jane Finkel, and I am a vocalist, ukulele player, and a piano player.
And everyone just calls me Sword, and I'm playing drums.
Yeah, short for Michael Sword.
That's correct.
So, you know, when our engineer and I were setting up the studio session a few weeks ago, trying to arrange all of this, we were kind of talking about the irony in your name, because we have such a small studio, unfortunately, and you're called Less Is More. We're trying to fit the setup in the studio. Oh,
yeah. We have a lot of stuff.
So, you know, how did you come down to that name, Less Is More?
Jane and I were up on Mackinac Island, where Jane's from, and we were getting ready to go into work, another food service filled day, and her father came downstairs in the morning with a Less Is More shirt on. It was from the MoMA, though,
the
Guggenheim. Sorry,
whatever.
details. And we looked at it, and we were in the middle of trying to figure out what we were going to call ourselves. We had been playing for a little bit, and it just kind of struck us, and we decided to roll with it from there.
And I've heard that you also, maybe Less Is More kind of has to do with the way that you record. I heard that you can record in about 15 minutes. Is that right?
Oh boy, I don't know.
I'm sure it depends.
Or tracking?
You did hear something correct about that. That's not all the time. We got for the Cool Kids song, I'm sure.
You
can talk about it.
The Cool Kids Riptide song that we recorded, that was just something that we decided to do with our friends when we were visiting in Nashville when we were on tour last year. And it was just an idea. They said, hey, we want to record a song. Do you guys want to as well? And then we recorded it in about 15 minutes and then just kept hanging out for the rest of the night. We had no idea it was going to reach the level that it did. And now, hopefully, we just practice enough that we can record in 15 minutes.
But who knows? It's always different. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that song.
Sure.
You know, the Cool Kids Riptide cover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you even expect this to get to the level that it did?
Oh gosh, no. We're still very confused by the whole ordeal. Happily confused, but confused nonetheless. This was all part of this 3.5 month long tour that we went on. It was the first tour that we did, and like Jane said, it was just a moment where we were hanging out with some old friends, and they have a band down in Nashville that's doing quite well right now too. Partially because of all the success that the song has had. And they were doing a bunch of YouTube covers. You can make a ton of money off of YouTube. And that was their idea, was that they were going to pay for their rent through all these YouTube dollars that were hypothetically going to come flowing in. And so we decided, yeah, we'll go and hang out with them. And if they want to do a video, that sounds fun. But we just wanted to see some old friends. And we were also excited to be working with them musically, too. And then, after we left, it was just a very short hangout type of thing. And then a couple states later, we're in Texas, and we get a phone call from Caroline, who's the female counterpart in the group. And she was telling us about this explosive early success. And we thought, you know, yeah, it's great, but didn't expect it to continue. And now we're still the same level of confused as we were at the very beginning, but much, much happier. Yeah. So it's been good. It's been good.
So has this song done anything for you guys as a band? You know, has it helped to get gigs or push you in any way?
It definitely has helped us to get quite a few gigs, but it's very different from most of the music that we play. So that's definitely also been a challenge, is to have this success and to celebrate it, but not to fall into it, because most of our music doesn't really sound like that. And in order to create our own level of success outside of that single has been a fun challenge, and it's been going very well.
And you actually have another cover, which is maybe not as popular, but definitely as unique, to Wagon Wheel, which has been covered dozens of times. But why did you decide to cover this? I heard it was kind of a joke a little bit.
Yeah. A mutual friend of ours and Sword, who just moved actually out to New York to pursue film, he thought, how funny would it be if you covered one of the most hated songs in the last decade, but made it your own? And so jokingly, I said, yeah, that's great. And I went back and I started, fiddling around on the guitar. And then Jane started singing over it, kind of standard for how we start to write our music anyway. And then it just kind of snowballed, and we did it at an open mic when we first moved into Kalamazoo, when Bo, who was the guy that was joking about it, was present. And he kind of jumped all over it, dug it, and said, let's record it. And so we did that. And then that's how actually we ended up meeting Sword. Sword came over to hang out with Bo, and while Bo was mixing the track, and then he started to have a bunch of wheels turning in his head for where the song could go, and then he wanted to drum on it, and yeah, so here we are. And as far as how the trio met, but yeah, the Wagon Wheel thing has been kind of another neat little blip in our story. It's been fun, and we still play it and have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, so Sword, what did you think when you first heard these guys?
Actually, that's funny, because I Bo, this guy that has been mentioned here, he pumped me up about, at that point they had 10 million listens on that song there on Spotify, and so he was really excited about them, and so he talked me into going back to his place and listening to this demo version of Wagon Wheel, and then, yeah, I got a bunch of ideas on how to slightly arrange it a little bit, and so we worked it over, and then I met them, and we just had a lot of fun recording it, and decided let's try and play live. So, and here we are.
Yeah. And I guess for those of us who aren't listening to the song right now, can you kind of describe how that cover sounds? It's kind of sad.
Right? We thought that we would look into the words in order to fully change it, not just to sing it differently, but to understand it differently. And when we deconstructed the lyrics, we found that they were actually pretty sad and pretty lonely, and definitely not coming from a happy place, even if it's sung in a happy tune. Because this person is alone, and not only alone, but kicked out of everywhere that he moves to, and is just kind of searching for love in all the wrong places, and just not understanding how to fill that void in themselves. So we decided to try to create that atmosphere in our song and that is also kind of the completion of the joke, is making this song incredibly serious, which was kind of what we were going for. And it's also very fun to sing, because it's fun to sing in all different sorts of emotions, and that one in particular, we can just, because of its ridiculousness already, we can just really just get down in the dumps and sad, and just, it's been a lot of fun.
You called it one of the most hated songs, yeah. but Old Crow Medicine Show has made a few bucks off of that song.
Yeah, and it really is a good song. It is a good song. The way that it was originally composed and the people that collaborated on it. I mean, there's a reason that it blew up. It's definitely a well put together song.
I guess is it the Nickelback of a song, or why do you guys dislike this song?
I don't think that we personally dislike it. It's just that if you play any song a million times and everyone covers it, and it just becomes, nobody can even remember who the original person was who composed it or sang it. And people, it kind of becomes one of those things. And I know a bar where everybody has to take a shot if anybody plays Wagon Wheel when they're playing open mic, because it's just just all of it, just everybody's go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So true. So kind of switching gears, Jane and Brian, you met at Albion College in actually an a cappella group, right? Talk a little bit about that.
I came in from Lansing, Michigan to go to school to Albion to play football, and kind of got swept up into this whole a cappella culture early on. And Jane came from Mackinac Island and similarly got swept up in this a cappella culture. I think both of us fell into it almost accidentally. And then we enjoyed singing together, and we were good friends prior to, you know, any band forming or any relationship forming or anything like that. We were just good pals. And then, we decided to try and put our brains together and start doing stuff outside of the a cappella group musically, because we had so much fun while in a cappella. And then we decided to make it a career as soon as I graduated, and it snowballed from there. But the a cappella group has been really the foundation of what we're doing now. We're vocally driven as a band, and we really have a lot of fond memories about that group. So,
right, and you can really hear that in the music. There's a lot of layering, a lot of variety, that kind of thing. Was that kind of what you were going for, to kind of take that a cappella roots and incorporate that in?
We try to change up our music writing process and the composition of all of our songs with every song. And any time that we notice we're doing too much of one thing, then we try to scale it back and try to grab inspiration from other parts of the songs or instrumentation. And for a while, we were noticing that we were just getting a little bit over-the-top crazy with the harmonies, that we were just kind of nonstop. Every word was harmonized with a different harmony, and it was just... And then we scaled it back, and I think it's just going to be an ever-changing process, and that... that's what I hope for, and what we definitely strive for as a band. And now that we have Sword involved, he adds an entirely new element with new ideas and new very respected opinions about our songs. And now we are writing songs together as a threesome, and then that process has changed it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there have been a lot of changes, especially since you released your album Amid the Flowers. A lot has changed. You know, you gained Sword.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other musical changes that you've tried to incorporate?
Well, we've had a lot of fun with the covers for sure, but we're definitely in the mode of creating original pieces that the three of us are very proud of. So just as simple as that, we're getting a little bit away from the covers now, which has been nice. And then compositionally, we're experimenting a little bit with some pop music structure, not necessarily pop music, but just how to construct a song that will become popular, I suppose. But also keeping the same type of moral compass that has gotten us all in one direction musically. So incorporating a little bit of that along with the folk roots and the alternative type of sound that we've built everything on. So
we started off doing kind of the standard start of a band, where we also had a deadline where we had to be done composing all of our songs before we recorded the first album. And so those songs were kind of soft and easy listening, and then we strayed as far away from that as we could and started getting pretty bizarre and pretty wacky, and then which was really fun for us, but we noticed that the attention and the enjoyability from the audience members was kind of going down a little bit because it was harder to follow. And now we're trying to take the things that we are known for, such as our harmonies, and then combine them with a bit of bizarre instrumentation and composition, and then combining that with a structure that people's ears want to listen to that does come from the pop structure. And then that's kind of how we're trying to progress our music.
That's interesting. That's kind of almost meeting the audience halfway.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been trying. it's been a circus bazaar for so long that we're still learning.
Well, yeah, you just came back from tour.
Mm-hmm.
How many tours have you had within since you released your album? I know that there was a charity tour.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit first.
Yeah, it was a 3.5 month long trip that we took with some good friends of ours, Brittany and Alex, who are into film on the east side of the state. And the point of that tour was to not only boost all of our careers, film and music, but to also give back the talents that we have been developing through the course of our lives. And so we did a lot of charity work. We tried to hit every state with at least one day of giving back to whatever community we were in. So, you know, soup kitchens and food banks and farmers initiatives and, you know, all sorts of stuff we tried to get our hands involved in. And that was great. I mean, we got to meet as many people as we could in a 3.5 month period, which, while it sounds like a long time for a tour, for what we were doing, it passed in the blink of an eye. So we did have a lot of fun with the charity aspect. I mean, I think it really tied in the entire trip and made us feel like we were doing something bigger than maybe we had thought we were going to get involved in at the very beginning. So,
I mean, we wanted to do something that didn't involve money, because a lot of times charity tours and doing things for charity, it often involves giving money, and it's not always certain where that money is going. And also, we just didn't have a lot of money to just give. And we're trying to promote the idea that you don't have to be rich in order to give back, that you can give back talents that you have or even talents that you don't have. I had never farmed before, and we went tomato picking and helped with that and just different things like that. But one of the most valuable parts for us and for them, because there's not too much you can do in one day with a charity, but giving music, giving our music to people that wouldn't generally get a performance just for them, that was powerful for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And am I right that there's a documentary about this in the works? Is that still happening?
We've been talking with Alex, who's putting the documentary together here and there, and he's come up with a lot of really cool ideas. There is no finishing date or published date yet for when this documentary will be released. I think he's actually going to be extending it a little bit further into taking it from the tour and then past to where we are now, and then incorporating Sword's involvement with the group and really making it a grandiose story. And he's got a lot of other ideas, too, that I probably shouldn't touch on just so that there's a surprise. But yeah, there is one coming out, is the short of it.
And that's Alex?
Alex Essex Carmona and Brittany Holt Carmona. So they're both very, very talented people that will be working on this documentary. And they were the ones that were on tour with us for that 3.5 month long period. So they know a lot.
And just recently you got done with a few tours in October, too, as well. How'd mm-hmm. those go?
Well, it was actually just, we did a bunch of stints throughout the summer in doing, like, Michigan tours, I guess. But we didn't really call them tours. Since we traveled the country in that 3.5 months, we figured that wherever we were going in Michigan, that was just a Michigan show. So we hadn't really thought about them as tours. But the one that we just went on in October, Sword came along with us, and so we were able to show, like, 6 different states what we could do as a trio, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. The shows were, you know, as a DIY tour can be a little bit sporadic, but it was a good time, and we learned a lot about not only the music that we were playing, but each other, too. So,
and Sword actually learned all of our music about a month before mm-hmm. we left for tour, and it was pretty incredible the amount of time that he was able to learn our music. And I think we practiced pretty much every day, which is what we always try to do. But that, I was impressed.
Yeah. Halfway through the tour, he said, so I got to be honest, I still don't know what the names of your songs are.
And so, it was that fast.
and so we had to kind of give a little run through at that moment, but yeah.
Just before we would play every song. I mean, maybe you would be better to describe it.
Yeah, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I learned just a lot of material. And I think it was more like three. We probably had 15 practices total before we hit the road, and so they would be having conversations about what song to play first or last, and by title I just didn't know what they were, you know, and I felt bad, so I figured, well, I'll start figuring it out, I just didn't, so I finally had to just admit, but yeah. So, but I could play the material. That was the important part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had them figured out enough that he never missed a beat. There was never, we didn't even know. We would say, how about 3-2-1 next? And go, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, good one.
And then it would, he never missed it.
Well, there wasn't a song that I had to start. So I just, there'd be just, you know, a little tidbit here or there, and I would know by sound what was happening next. So.
Fake it till you make it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
What's next for you guys? You know, is there another album in the works?
We've got some exciting stuff happening towards the end of this month. We're going back into the studio, this time with a producer on the west side of the state, and he's done a lot of really great work, so we're really excited to get involved with his creative mind, and we're just kind of gonna shack up for 4 days, and it's not gonna be an album. We're just gonna come out with, I think, couple of songs and figure out which song is going to be the single that we're going to release for 2016, and then we're going to hopefully get that out there as much as possible with some more tours and shows. And so yeah, got a lot of exciting stuff. We actually don't even really know what the heck's going to happen to us, so we're excited for it. That's
just
part
trying
of
trying to be as prepared as possible, and we'll see what happens from there.
Creativity.
Well, it's been great talking with you guys, and we'll see you Friday at 8 at Louie's Trophy House Grill in Kalamazoo, playing alongside Brooklyn band The Bones of J.R. Jones and Kalamazoo singer-songwriter, I believe, Alex Quinlan. Mm-hmm. You're also going to be at Max Bar in Lansing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's the Saturday following.
Yep.
And on December 4th at Webster's Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are the last shows of your season.
Yes, yeah, those are it.
So if you guys want to see them, don't miss out. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.